जमुनादिरावनचारी जमुनादिरावनचारी जयो राधा माधव कुंज बिहारी जयो राधा माधव कुंज बिहारी
जयो विष्णुपाद परमंस परिव्राजकाचार्य अस्तोत्र शतेश डिवाइन ग्रेस श्रीमद अभय चरणारविंद भक्ति वेदांत स्वामी शिल प्रभुपाद की इस्कॉन बीबीडी संस्थापक आचार्य शिल प्रभुपाद की जयो विष्णुपाद परमंस परिव्राजकाचार्य अस्तोत्र शतेश डिवाइन ग्रेस श्रीमद भक्ति सिद्धांत सरस्वती गोस्वामी महाराज शिल प्रभुपाद की अनंत कोटि वैष्णविंद की नामाचार्य शिल हरिदास ठाकुर की प्रेम से कहो श्री कृष्ण चैतन्य प्रभु नित्यानंद श्री अद्वैत गदाधर श्रीवासादि गौर भक्त वृंद की श्री श्री राधा कृष्ण गोप गोपीनाथ श्याम कुंड राधा कुंड गिरि गोवर्धन की ब्रजभूमि वृंदावन धाम की श्री मथुरा धाम की चिन्नवदीप मायापुर धाम की पुरुषोत्तम क्षेत्र जगन्नाथपुरी धाम की गंगा मैया की जमुना मैया की भक्ति देवी की श्रीमती तुलसी महारानी की कलयुग पावन हरिनाम संकीर्तन की हरे कृष्ण महामंत्र की ताई गौर प्रेमानंदे ऑल ग्लोरी टू द असेंबल्ड डिवोटीज ऑल ग्लोरी टू द असेंबल्ड डिवोटीज ऑल ग्लोरी टू द असेंबल्ड डिवोटीज ऑल ग्लोरीज ऑल ग्लोरीज ऑल ग्लोरीज टू श्री श्री गुरु एंड गौरंगा श्री नरसिंह चतुर्दशी महामहोत्सव की श्री भगवान नरसिंह देव की भक्त शिरोमणि प्रहलाद महाराज की ओम नमो भगवते वासुदेवाय ओम नमो भगवते वासुदेवाय ओम नमो भगवते वासुदेवाय नारायणं नमस्कृत्य नरं चैव नरोत्तमं देवीं सरस्वतीं व्यासं ततो जयमुदीरयेत् नष्टप्रायेषु अभद्रेषु नित्यं भागवत सेवया भगवती उत्तम श्लोके भक्तिर्भवती नैष्ठिकी Hare Krishna, we would like to welcome all our devotees, especially those who are joining us through cyberspace. Today is the blessed advent of the Supreme Personality of Godhead as Narasimha Dev. And we shall be seeing the whole leela of the Lord adventing as a half-man, half-lion leela incarnation based on one statement. Now, personally, this hit me like anything when I read it. Kashyap Muni is telling Diti, his wife, that your sons will be the terror of the universe. And your grandson, his fame will be on an equal level with the Supreme Personality of Godhead. To hear the grandson hinted is Prahlad Maharaj. He was the youngest son of Hiranyakashipu. So what exactly do you mean by somebody having the fame equal to the Supreme Personality of Godhead? Krishna is all attractive. His name, fame, Leela, Dham, they are all attractive. So does it mean that a pure devotee, he can be elevated to the level of almost as the Supreme Lord? Like you remember the Supreme Lord, you get benefits. You chant the glories of the Supreme Lord, you get those benefits. Here it is meant that in the same way you glorify a pure devotee, you get the same benefits. To cleanse our hearts, we are told to glorify Krishna. But the process of Bhagavad Dharma says, a pure devotee's glories are equally effective. So, right from the Bhagavad Gita, Srila Prabhupada uses Prahlad's example many, many, many times. If you just search for Prahlad, you get something like 650 or so entries, and about 15 of them are in the Bhagavad Gita purports. Oh no, maybe 1,000. About 650 you get in the Bhagavatam alone. And I didn't go in Chaitanya Charitamrita. This itself was too much for me to just kind of understand and absorb. The Leela? Leela is for general devotees, very famous, well known. Prahlad is troubled by the father. Prahlad is courageous to speak in front of his father. Father gets angry, tries to kill him. Narasimhadev comes and kills the father. Leela finished. But there is more to it. So, I have chosen 2.7.14 as the beginning point of our glorification of today's festival. The festival, the advent of the Lord, the saving of Prahlad, and we will come to know that Prahlad doesn't need saving. He's happy. And he's sad. He's happy within himself. And he's sad for us. So, no wonder that Mahaprabhu relished Prahlad's katha 100 times. He's telling Gadadhar, Bala Bala, go on. So this is 2.7.14. Traipishtaporubhaya hasa narsimha rupam kritva bhramat bhrukuti damshakaral vaktram daityendra mashugadaya vipatantam arad urav nipatya vidadar nakhais purantam. So this is like a telling of all the Leela incarnations of Krishna. And the second canto. So the translation is, the personality of God had assumed the incarnation of Narasimha Dev in order to vanquish the great fears of the demigods. He killed the king of the demons, Hiranyakashipu, who challenged the Lord with a club in his hand by placing the demon on his thighs and piercing him with his nails, rolling his eyebrows in anger and showing his fearful teeth and mouth. Purport. The history of Hiranyakashipu and his great devotee son Prahlad Maharaj is narrated in the 7th canto of Srimad Bhagavatam. Hiranyakashipu became very powerful by material achievements and thought himself to be immortal by the grace of Brahmaji. Brahmaji declined to award him the benediction of immortality because he himself is not an immortal being. But Hiranyakashipu derived Brahmaji's benediction in a roundabout way, almost equal to becoming an immortal being. Hiranyakashipu was sure that he would not be killed by any man or demigod or by any kind of known weapon, nor would he die in day or night. Just to pause about how do we see the world, how do we define the world? So, in Sanskrit, classical Sanskrit understanding, a young beautiful woman's body is seen by, let's say she's a decorated young woman with jewelry and everything. It is seen by a kami, lusty person as an object of lust, as a thief. He also may have lust, but is more interested in the gold. And a dog who may think that when this body dies, I can eat it. So, every moment we are seeing the world according to our inner consciousness, the inner framework which we have constantly. Now just see how challenging and entangling this whole thing is. I am seeing something. I am seeing this as a book stand. What if I am in some place and somebody tries to hit me? I may try to protect myself with this. So it becomes a shield. If I use it to hit someone, it becomes a weapon. So what exactly is this world? In fact, nobody has found out. You may say it's a very bold claim to say that nobody has found out. Mostly we come, we look at things, we try to use them. So this is the beginning of the kosha's understanding. Ahar or annamai kosh means the world is food. And you can see in the behavior of a baby. This is leather-like, it's good, I can chew it. So now you and me will never, we may in stress, but normally we won't be chewing something. Why do people chew their nails? If you ask them, don't chew your nails, it's, I'm not, I'm just stressed out. So the world is food, this kind of consciousness, everything you look at, you feel like somebody is a mercantile-minded person. If he sees some wood, what if I take it and sell it? If somebody is a carpenter, what if I can make a cabinet from it? So, there is an original manufacturer of this world, Srishtikarta. Our problems don't come to an end till we ask him, sir, just a moment, why you made this? And if he says, I made it because you rascal, you had this illegitimate desire to enjoy separately from me. So you say, all right. So the problem is the illegitimacy of the desire. And he says, yes. Or is it the desire to enjoy? So no. Right from the beginning, the Vedas say, Anandamayo Bhyasat. We are not declining that, we are not negating, we are not saying no to Ananda. We are not saying that you should not pursue happiness. In fact, Sarve Sukhina Bhavantu. Some of the most popular Vedic aphorisms are, let everybody be happy. Let's take for example, let everybody be happy. In a society of drunkards, it means, hey, more liquor. In a society of cricket lovers, that means more matches. IPL is starting. In a society of Bollywood people, you would say, you have celebrities coming here. So what do you mean by sarve be happy? Who's making everybody happy? Krishna says, my job is to make everybody happy. But the result is, because of the illegitimacy, because the desire is put in a wrong way, nobody is happy. So Hiranyakashipu is seeing immortality as the only way to be happy. Can anyone say how immortal will
Just being immortal will make you happy? Any ideas? Yes. Sorry? Okay, it is a little closer to our identity of Sat. I fear loss. I fear deterioration. In this 54-year-old body, I'm going to take 2 vitamin injections tomorrow. Correct, doctor? Why? Because some knee pain and some this pain and some that pain, I tried massage, didn't work. I tried sun bath, didn't work. I tried exercising, it became worse. So, the last thing is, maybe it is B12 or D3 deficiency. So the body is not producing it, you have to put from outside. And once the trouble goes a little bit, So avoiding trouble is the main goal of life. Increasing happiness. Sometimes the happiness doesn't increase, but the trouble goes away. A friend was talking to me 2 days ago. The landlord, he was staying in the place. The landlord was saying, you have to pay 1,000 euros more. 1,000 euros is something like, 80,000 rupees, 90,000 rupees. So he kept the money aside. But then something happened and his company talked with the landlord and they say, okay, you don't have to pay. I'm happy. So you're thinking, why I'm happy? Did I earn money? No. There was an impending loss and the loss was averted and that made me happy. So it almost feels like if you say, I'm going to slap you 5 times. Okay, I'm going to slap only 3 times. You say, thank you so much. Really, you're so kind. I'm really happy. Really? Just because I didn't slap you 2 less, you're happy? So immortality is a goal only because I don't want death. I also don't want old age. And I also don't want disease. But there is always a big push towards avoiding disease, avoiding old age, avoiding death. But if you tell them, avoid birth, that causes these other 3. They say, that's not possible. Why? Why that's not possible? So what exactly do we mean by becoming immortal? For what purpose? So Hiranyakashipu, brilliant mind, is telling Brahma, I should not be killed by any creature created by you personally. And Brahmaji thinks for a moment and said, all right, tathastu. And he's like, ha. One box ticked. This material world is created by Brahma. All right. Everybody inside is created by Brahma. So that means in a salt mine, if somebody has made a sculpture of, a ball or a square or a house, it doesn't make any difference, right? It's all salt. You only call it, this is a ball and this is a square and this is a brick. But everything actually is salt. So, everything is made by Brahma and none of Brahma's creatures have the ability to kill me. As good as I am immortal. But just like a lawyer, Prabhupada is talking of roundabout way, we are talking of today's lawyers. There could be a time when there were good lawyers, I don't know, supposedly. But, so, this roundabout word has triggered all those kind of thoughts that, I think I told this, I was working in a firm and we got a legal agreement. So there was something about the gender of the person taking money from our company. So it was masculine, feminine, neuter or any other. So we had a discussion in the office. Could there be any other? So the lawyer's firm was asked, they said, well, we are covering up all possibilities. So that's like how a lawyer, today's lawyers may be forced by circumstances today. Not devotees lawyers and not those who are lawyers and seeing this lecture anyway. This is not meant for you. You are all good, honest people. So this is Hiranyakashipu's brain working overtime in an overdrive and saying that I should not be killed by any creature created by you. And then he said, by any man, demigod or any known weapon, nor day nor night. So according to his calculation, what remains? How do people die? Either somebody dies at the day or night, above or below, inside or outside, by astra or shastra. And I have covered everything. The moment he was given tathastu, suddenly there was a change in his personality. Gone the tapasvi, Hiranyakashipu, the person standing on his toes and everything is all gone. Now comes the enjoyer Hiranyakashipu. So, Srila Prabhupada then says, the Lord, however, assumed the incarnation of half man and half lion, which was beyond the imagination of a materialistic demon like Hiranyakashipu. You can't even imagine that. Like Hiranyaksha, when he sees Varahadev, he calls him, hey, Vanagochara. Basically, in Bombay, it means, hey, Jangli. Vanagochara, those who go in the forest. So, the abuse words have remained similar. Only the outward shell has changed a little bit here and there. Thus, keeping pace with the benediction of Brahmaji, the Lord killed him. He killed him on his lap, so that he was killed neither on the land, nor on the water, nor in sky. The demon was pierced by Narsimha's nails, which were beyond the human weapons imaginable by Hiranyakashipu. Technically, sound point here. Nails are neither flesh, nor blood, nor part of the body in one sense. They grow, you don't know how, and you cut them, don't feel any pain. So if your limbs are cut, you feel pain, but nail, hair is not considered part of your body in that sense. So the literal meaning of Hiranyakashipu is one who is after gold and soft bedding. Kashipu's soft bedding. The ultimate aim of all materialistic men. Such demonic men who have no relationship with God gradually become puffed up by material acquisitions and begin to challenge the authority of the Supreme Lord and torture those who are devotees of the Lord. Just two sentences, it kind of comprises the entire mentality of asuras, the fight between asuras and devotees. So, first point, demonic men, asuras, who have no relationship with God. Does it mean literally? No. From their side, they don't have any relationship. If you remind them that you do have a relationship, they deny it. Today, the media is saturated with atheistic thoughts. Atheists have become sophisticated. Two ways in which the common man becomes ground between two big stones. One could be that religious preaching has become more like you'll go to hell. If you say this, you'll go to hell. If you think like this, you'll go to hell. So, some preachers only concentrate on hell. Others only concentrate on heaven. While today's sophisticated atheist, there was a blog I saw, The Humble Atheist. He says, I don't believe in God. I'm working on a small video presentation on monastic life. So in the YouTube comments, one person is saying, is there a monastic way of life in a monastery, but devoid of religion? Is it available anywhere? So people want this secular thing where God, connection with God should not be mentioned as much as possible. One prominent atheist went so far as to say that this world is too beautiful to be made by a God. It's too elegant. There are too many structured things happening here. And it's beautiful. So number one, it could be like the God which they have imagined doesn't have any attributes. There is no training, there is no culture. One of the earliest of Srila Prabhupada's conversational statements, which I really would like to treasure the last end of my life, is Gita doesn't disappoint you. Prabhupada says, I tell all these students coming here, he says, this scripture will never disappoint you. So many philosophers were angry that they couldn't get any answer. Vita raga bhaya krodha manmana maam upashrita. In that, krodha is where people see so many statements cutting each other. And they say, is there any agreement on who is God? As if there is one person who has a CV, his resume is given, just one A4 size page, this is God, he passed matriculation, college, 2 years work experience, obedient servant, will do whatever you say, and he's God. He said, okay. But in the materialistic world, if there is, I think, 2 Bollywood heroes or whatever actors passed away in quick succession the last week or so, and everybody is, they are crying bucket loads of tears. So, one person was younger, maybe in his 50s, and they're asking, define him. And how the best way to talk about the glories of a materialistic person is, you can't. He has so many aspects. Which one would you concentrate on? He was too big. He was too great. Oh, he was a friend, a father. He was a club partner. He was an auteur. He was a singer. He was our chocolate hero. He was this, he was that. And I was thinking, well. One person, and you have discovered so many aspects about him. You refuse to say that he could be put straight jacketed into one thing. But religion, no, just one statement only. God, just one line definition, that's it. This is too much. No, God is this and God is that. Tade jati, tanne jati. Tad dure, tadvantike. Tad antrasya sarvasya. Tadu sarvasyasya bhayata. What is this? Dr. Patel, Srila Prabhupada's famous debater, he said that when Krishna is saying, Pashyame yoga maishwaryam, nachamastani bhutani pashyame yoga maishwaryam, he says, Swamiji, Krishna, he would say, Krishna, he was a Pushti Marga, so Krishna would say something and he realized he made a mistake. So in the next line, he corrected himself. And Prabhupada was boiling. He said, how dare you say that this is a mistake and he's correcting himself? So you should see, wait a bit, Shanti. He's saying, I am everywhere, right? And the next verse he's saying, but I'm not everywhere. So isn't that correction he made? You can say it's human to make mistakes. That's the point. If it is human to make mistakes, here is somebody who's not human. Manushim tanumashritam. Sometimes you feel what Srila Prabhupada said, which any new bhakta, remember your first 6 months in bhakta program and you know about Krishna, I assure you, some philosophers struggled with that till the last breath of their life. That can somebody make me understand how God can be human and beyond that? And here you have. Just pick the Gita as it is. Pick the Bhagavatam and you get it. So we need to understand what has been given. So, you declare you have no relationship with God.
then what happens? Gradually become puffed up by material acquisitions. Now here is a point, tapa. Krishna says, yagya dana tapa kriya pavanani manishina. You should never give them up. Never give up yagya, never give up dana, never give up tapa. Tapa or tapasya, I call it the currency of this world. It's a currency. It's like your fully paid debit card. 200,000 rupees. You can spend that. That card shows that you can spend up to 200,000. You already have the debit card. It's not a credit card that you are promising you will pay later. So tapa is asuras do tapasya, devatas do tapasya. Siddha, charana, everybody does tapasya. What to speak of them? Even in our madhya lok, our so-called successful people, there is tapasya. Somebody has started a store and they may say, last 17 years, no holidays. Really? 17 years, every day, you came and worked in your store, 9 o'clock in the morning you come, 11 o'clock at night you go. Now, God knows what kind of effect on the cosmic scale this fellow going to his store has to be understood. But, there is tapa. So if you ask him, no parties, no movies, no celebrations, nothing. I only work in my store here. So, normal understanding of the word tapasya is trouble, right? Misery, affliction, pain. Actually, tap is an uncomfortable situation accepted voluntarily. If it is not uncomfortable, it is not tapasya. And if it is not voluntary, then also it is not tapasya. Like dan also has to be given with volition. You want to give dan. So without a ticket, you come in general class from Mathura to Bombay. That's not tapasya. It's just your mistake. You didn't take the ticket. You may say, but I was troubled. I troubled. Everybody is troubled. There is one Bhagavatam verse which says that every living being is called a tapasvi. Because he is roasted on the pan of this material world. So tap means heat. So who can say they don't get heat? So, devatas and asuras both have those medals of tapasya. What do you do with that? What do you do with that debit card? So, certainly Hiranyakashipu's tapasya of standing on toes, not even feet, and then allowing the body to be eaten by ants. Frankly speaking, it looks strange, unbelievable. But then you see, the point is, these kind of descriptions are given so that we understand tapasya and the coming power and the resultant fame, glory, or whatever. The bigger the tapasya, the more kathor the tapasya, the heavier is the result, the more profitable is the result. There is one thing from Thakur Bhakti Vinod, which I'm just, you are my family, I'm just sharing some thought, that Bhaktivinoda Thakur is telling bhakti yogis, aspiring bhakti yogis, that don't perform tapasya. You say, what do you mean? Ekadashi fasting, today most of us are fasting, or just staying in an ashram with so many people. Learning shastra, sense control, all this is tap. So Bhaktivinoda Thakur is suggesting, mere tap will only make your heart hard. Because we are Kali Yugi Jivas, one of the easiest, like for a elephant in a jungle path, if there is a hole which is covered with coconut leaves or whatever, he falls down into that. And because he's heavy, he cannot come up. So the easiest hole to fall in is
Because I'm talking to everybody, but I'm talking to mostly those who are staying in a monastic order, we compare. He ate, he also ate, I saw him in the kitchen, I didn't eat today. And still I'm giving a class. Do I feel I'm fasting? No, see? So this comparison. And you may say, hey, you are comparing with just few people who are sitting next to you. Can you fast like Rantidev? Yeah, that is impractical. Why impractical? So a closed mindset, and then you forcibly do tapasya, and then you compare with your fellow godbrothers, it defeats the purpose behind the whole thing. Whether it is chanting, whether it is dancing, whether it is fasting or feasting, all of them have to make our heart soft. But this is just the opposite. So, somebody may say, so you mean you should, thank you for telling, so no more fasting from tomorrow. No, that's not the point. If you don't follow the rules, you'll become slack. It's like an elastic. If it is too slack, like a veena. Veena is a better, more better example. If the strings are not properly tuned, doing, 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 doing. It's no music. If it is too tight, tong, tack. It broke. So, I remember I was with Dinguram Prabhu. We wanted some gifts. This is our ILS February. So, on the roadside, along the path, when we go for bathing in the Ganga, so many people had those ektaris. Have you seen the ektari? It's one tar. And so I saw that. I said, okay. It was not tuned up. So I started saying, hey, don't. So that fellow said, wait. This should be done delicately. And then he started playing. So the heart is like that instrument which needs to be tuned properly. Don't follow the rules. Neglect following the rules. You'll be slack. Too tight, and a wrong idea of tapasya will make your heart hard. And here we see, hard. Hiranyakashipu's heart was hard. It was more harder than stone. He could kill off his son. The kind of abuse words he uses for his son is like, if there is a gangrene on the toe of your foot, better to do a surgical operation and cut it off. This son of mine is like a disease in the body. Because if he is the body, this whole kul, asura, glorious asura kul is the whole body, and his son is a disease, son is the affliction. He is a wholesale disease in himself that he doesn't understand. So something about tapasya. So first of all, declare no relationship with God. Secondly, perform kathor tapasya, torturous penance and austerity. And then, what happens? You have no relationship with God, you don't know what the goal of life is, and you have heavy tapasya attributes. Torture those who are devotees of the Lord. It is interesting. Complete non-devotees and Nirakarvadis, they are in the same boat. You know in which same boat? They say this Das Das Bhavana, servant of the servant of the servant, is when will you shake off this slave mentality? Be a man. Remember that Radhanand Maharaj was with some Nagas and they were saying, Radhe Krishna, Radhe Krishna, Radhe Krishna, Radhe Krishna. Be a Naga. Naga is man. I don't know the whole thing exactly, but the whole thing is that worship Shiva and you become Shivoham. While you worship Krishna and he says, Dasoham. Why? Why this slave mentality? Grow some spine, as they say. Prabhupada, sometimes he takes a very nice, sweet look at these things, but the statements are heavy. Almost all impersonalists today, they agree that The path of bhakti is very good, very good. It's a nice, easy path for invalids, physically challenged, blind, lepers, old, widows, unproductive members of society. Just sit in one corner and just say, Hari, Hari, Radhe, 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 Radhe. And if you really have something in you, then you become Shivoham, or you become one with the cosmos. So Prabhupada said, if this is the easy path, all right, hearing chanting is the easy path, why don't you do it? Use your common sense. If you are going to some place, it says long cut, right, shortcut, left. Will anybody in his sanity will deliberately take the long cut? No, you take the shortcut. So if the bhakti marg is shortcut, if the bhakti marg is easy, you don't require brains even for bhakti marg, why do you deliberately take a long cut? So Prabhupada says, actually the bhakti marg is not easy. What I have understood is, understanding it is easy, application is maha difficult. Chanting Hare Krishna is easy, chanting attentively is difficult. If chanting attentively is easy, constantly chanting attentively is difficult. Mahaprabhu is simply putting a simple formula that, listen, everybody, you want to do Kirtaniya Sadahari? Easy process. First, simple condition. Just be more tolerant than a tree. You say, really? Just only that? Yeah. Nothing more. By the way, another thing is, and be, consider yourself more humbler than a blade of straw. You may say, anything else? Don't expect any honor for yourself. We were having a discussion, I was thinking, these three are all impossibilities in their own way. From a conditioned point of view, to, what is the meaning of being more tolerant than a tree? Radha Govind Maharaj in one of his classes was saying, three woodcutters came and they were looking at the tree. Okay, you start from this branch, I'll start from this branch. And the tree is looking and tack, 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 one branch gone. Tack, 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 this thing gone. And I said, oh, there is so much growth here also, we can also cut that. I said, we are tired. Thoda aram karte hain. Where do they take rest? Under the tree. One of them finds that his axe, the handle breaks. So what does he do? He breaks a branch of the tree and he says, now it's a good handle. Now I can. The tree has not denied its shade to somebody who has come to cut it. It is offering its own limb. Here, use this, you can cut me more nicely. Now that is the meaning of being more tolerant, more meek than a blade of grass. Bhaktivinoda Thakur says, this blade of grass doesn't mean a grass growing in the fields, by the way. Although it is grass, insignificant, if you step on it, there is a chance it can again kind of look up. He says, this is a dried piece of grass on the street. That trana, which means even that dignity of being a living piece of grass is also not there. This is a dried piece of grass. Then the third thing, not expecting any honor for yourself. If you have not done anything, no question of honor. But human society, we work and we try to, we are competitive, admit it. There is a sense of, and it's not bad, I'm not totally saying that it is all wrong. But then there were 25 offerings made. And all the offerings are mentioned except the one which you cooked. Or the contributions made by someone to a particular project. And if one person's name is not mentioned, still, our story doesn't end there. Our discussion went that even if somehow these three are achieved,
you actually become tolerant than a tree, humbler than a blade of grass, and don't expect any respect for you personally. The fourth one, that guy who forgot to mention your name among Janmashtami donors or singers or cooks or speakers or whatever. Now it's your turn to glorify. And Mahaprabhu is saying, give all glorification. That is very difficult. That mana dena. If I am glorified, I'll give half of it to someone. Okay, no problem. Prabhu, your contribution to the ashram is the greatest. Thank you. Yours also was great. Good. So, little bit here and there I can. If you give me 100 rupees donation, I can give 10 rupees back. No problem. No wonder only in this situation can there be a continuous outpouring of glorification of Krishna. And we are seeing one person like that. There are millions, but one we are glorifying today, Prahlad. He has achieved all four. So, become big, big tapasya, acquire material acquisitions and challenge the authority of Supreme Lord and then torture those who are devotees of Lord. Prahlad Maharaj happened to be the son of Hiranyakashipu. And because the boy was a great devotee, his father tortured him to the best of his ability. In this extreme situation, the Lord assumed the incarnation of Narasimha Dev, and just to finish the enemy of the demigods, the Lord killed Hiranyakashipu in a manner beyond the demon's imagination. Last line. Many times you see Prabhupada's purports, they begin with a bang and they end with a flourish. Materialistic plans of godless demons are always frustrated by the all-powerful Lord. So many adjectives, huh? Plans which are materialistic, made by godless demons, frustrated by the all-powerful Lord. So much for understanding the whole story. As I said, mostly Prahlad Maharaj's prayers, Prabhupada took so many concepts from that again and again and again and again. Especially some of the ones which are most significant are Matirna Krishne Parato Satova, that how does one become a devotee? One of the best questions to ask anybody is, Prabhu, when did you join the Hare Krishna movement? Isn't it a nice thing to relate? Oh, that time I was doing this, and then Z.O.D. came, he gave me some prasad. I asked a question, he gave more prasad. I asked another question, he gave some more prasad. I again asked two questions, he gave some more prasad. And then I asked a question, can I join? And he said, now you start asking questions. So, we feel happy. Brother is saying here, do you know that Matir na Krishne Parato Svato? Parato Svato Mitho Api. By your efforts, you cannot understand who Krishna is. By seeing somebody else's efforts, you cannot understand who Krishna is. And if you do collaborate, still you will never understand who Krishna is. Yeah. It's like two bankrupt merchants cannot help each other, right? Two students who both failed in mathematics. They say, okay, you come to my home, I'll teach you, then I'll come to your home and you teach me. What's the question of teaching? You both failed. Even together, your marks won't add to 35. So, where is the question of helping each other out? You need somebody who minimum passed, but ideally somebody who's in the 90s, 98, 99 or 100. So, similarly, understanding who Krishna, he says it's not, though no endeavor can give you Krishna. One of my favorite examples is, like we have mobile phones, they are what they are, mobile, they move from one place to another. We move, but we forget where we have put them. So, forgetting your mobile phone or forgetting your bunch of keys, you feel you have a faint, like somebody says, when was the last time you saw it? Okay. During breakfast, I took a call. That means in breakfast, during breakfast, I had it. During japa time, okay, I was going around our temple. So that time I had it. I didn't have it. No, maybe I took a call. Oh, I was at Lakshminarayan Garden. I took a call. Maybe I kept it there. So, forgetting Krishna, is it like that? That was I chanting or was I milking Krishna's cows or was I playing holy with Krishna that I left Krishna? He says, please try to understand. You don't even know that you don't know. You have forgotten that you have forgotten. If you had something, then there is a question of reviving your memory. This is something which Maya has given you a formatted disk when you came here. And all the data, the earliest data, is Trigunatmak in nature. The earliest things etched on our hard drive has also something to do with should I sell something? Should I make some profit? Profit, loss, friends, enemies, dharma, artha, kama, moksha. That's all. So therefore, it comes as a shock. First is the shock. Me, a servant of Krishna? Yes. I have an objection. Eternal servant of Krishna. You didn't understand. I am having some serious doubts. Eternally a servant of the servant of Krishna. Please, let me speak. Eternally a servant of the servant of the servant, 100 times removed servant of Krishna. No questions. If you have a philosophy which is that strong, this is exactly how it goes against the grain of this material world. Devamrata Maharaj once told in a class, Hiranyakashipu stands for the highest, the pinnacle of materialistic consciousness. It cannot go beyond that. It cannot, the achievements cannot go beyond that. Do you know what actually Hiranyakashipu achieved? He achieved, first of all, total supremacy over all the administrators here. If Krishnam Prabhu, I'm sorry, I'm giving you an example, you are here. If you tell the security, I want 2 people here on that gate. They'll say, okay sir, take this box, keep it there. Don't touch that box. Why? He's a temple administrator and these people are is under him. They are supposed to follow what he says. Imagine Hiranyakashipu telling the demigods that at 6 o'clock I'm going for a small stroll around our temple. I need some light rain. And the rain starts. And the rain is a bit too much. So he looks up and says, I told you not so much, light. And the fellow in charge is trembling. He is operating the console as to make it light, boss wants it light. It becomes too light and he says, are you listening? Yes sir, increase little bit. You go to a tree and he says, why it's not getting mangoes? Baba, mangoes bhejo. Any season, any fruit, any tree, any treatment, everything he would do by the movement of his eyebrows. In my college day, there was a cigarette which had a person smoking it and his line was, I get what I want. And I was thinking, oh, it's a good line. It's a good line, I get what I want. In the West, there was this Marlboro company, and they had a Marlboro man, cowboy hat, horses, 30-40 horses, he would be corralling them into some shed, and then he would go in the walk in the sunset straight. Otherwise, he would have a campfire, and he won't be using matchsticks or lighters. He would take a twig, a crackling twig from the campfire, and slowly bring it towards his lips. That was a Marlboro man. Now all these, there were 4 decades, 60s, 70s, 80s, 90s, there were 3 or 4 Marlboro men. Somehow they all died of lung cancer. So, in retrospect,
you get what you want. Did you want cancer? No. But you still got it. Here is one person who actually got what he wanted. When he wanted. The way he wanted. And Prahlad is describing him. Prahlad, how's your father? Sada samudvagna dhyam. He says, always disturbed. He would be drunk on strong smelling heavy liquors. Not to relax after a heavy days of work or something. As a rule. Like Jagai Madai, if they would not be drunk, people would be very afraid. If they are, then they would be singing and, you know, a little bit normal. So why is it that you get what you wanted, your steel-framed body, Bhagavatam describes, as Hiranyakashipu would walk, earth would tremble, tall, structured, gold all over. I mean, what else can a man have, want? So you get what you want, you are a tapasvi, you are a ruler, you can terrorize. It's a sad fact of human nature that, now this thing just came up, I'm not picking up on one country. Torture happens almost everywhere, universally it's a problem. So, whether people torturing the opposing elements of a political party, like in South Africa there was a whites-only government, and then the minorities, the leaders would be tortured. So many of the policemen, they were asked that, why? What pleasure is in seeing someone being beaten with a rod or electrodes being put in their bodies or their nails taken out? One of them said, in fact, this gives more ecstasy than associating with a woman. The power that I have, the power to either crush him, I have the power over somebody's life. This is a big intoxication. So Hiranyakashipu, Hiranyaksha, this is that these demons, this is the power they have. You are living only because I want you. You are dying because I don't want you to. I can anytime change my mind. So this highest development of materialistic consciousness, what is the counterweight? The counterweight is the highest development of Bhagavad Dharma. These are some things which I gleaned from some of the purports that, number one, here it is said that devotees are tortured by demons. You may say, all right, demons you want to torture, but you may ask Krishna, why do you allow devotees to be tortured? Aren't you there to protect them? So frankly speaking, we should understand, best is to call ourselves not as devotees. Otherwise, if you call yourself devotee and then you start reading Bhagavatam saying that, this is not happening to me, that's not happening to me. Better to think ourselves as apprentice, novice devotees, so that we at least don't feel that, like today I was reading, in one purport Prabhupada is saying, if you are a devotee of Krishna, 14, your father's 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 father, up to 14 fathers, they will all be delivered. I was thinking, how nice, isn't it? Today, you remember that. And then I said, read again, if you are a devotee like Prahlad, I said, hey. That's a secret. If you are a devotee like Prahlad, then all these 21 generations, 14 generations, all these benefits come. Isn't it? And it's natural. So if Krishna allows, it's good, but not to demand. So why Krishna puts his devotees into test? Here is Prabhupada's explanation. Just to magnify the sense of duty. Arjuna has a duty. He apparently failed in the duty. So Krishna put him in a miserable situation. He came out successful. Draupadi, gopis,
Prabhupada mainly uses the example of gopis and Arjuna here. But you can see it every devotee. The sense of duty for a pure devotee is, I have to serve my Lord. And that sense of duty comes out with such force when there is opposition, when there is torture. At least once Prabhupada is using the word in the sentence, superficially they were killed. Anybody remember reading that? That superficially Haridas Thakur was tortured. Jesus Christ was killed superficially. They cannot kill the soul for sure. So this is, we are talking now of Prahlad and that level of devotion. There is no question of any sadhana bhakti types here. We are only hearing, as I said in the beginning, we hear Prabhupada's, Prahlad's glories because they are equal to Narasimha Deva's glories. Kashyap Muni clarifies that, certifies that. Second point about Prahlad's glorification. Even after that torture, did he leave service? Did he leave remembering Krishna? Another solid point I discovered. A pure heart cannot leave the shelter of the Lord. And I was just thinking, we take shelter. Like sometimes too much of seva, we take shelter of prasad. Too much of prasad and seva, we take shelter of sleep. But we have to take shelter of something. I should dare not say, but sometimes too much of Bhagavatam and too much of, we take shelter of mundane news. What's the latest tally in Bombay? 25,000? Oh, really? Now, wait a minute. How are you changing it? Are you capable? Or are you even supposed to? The government says, please, just do one favor to us. Stay put inside. Don't come out. But no. When I come to know that there are 37 containment zones in Mumbai, and out of the 5,225 districts in all of India, more than 2,700 are in red zone. I'm making it up. Don't feel that I'm very accurate about that. I'm just making an imaginary thing. But the feeling of knowing this information diverts my mind. I feel happy. Then I need to share with someone. Now if the person whom you are sharing is also panicky, then you feel happy. If he is someone like Sri Vishwambar Prabhu and you tell him that, you know, in America Trump is saying like that. Really? He says, I made a mistake. Unnecessarily a pure mind was contaminated with some nonsensical materialistic data. So I say, sorry, let us talk about your mridang playing. That's much better. You cannot say he's not improving. He's, you can see the singer, the chorus, we are all very comfortable. His kurta is completely wet from behind. So much of effort's going. Thank you for doing that seva. So, how does Krishna appear? Another beautiful thing. I mean, really, Prabhupada has given so many different explanations. They are so intellectually satisfying. Prabhupada says, you rub anything in this material world. Two stones on each other, sparks come. That's electricity. Two pieces of wood on each other, electricity. Correct? Sometimes have you seen in, I don't know, whether I've seen in Mayapur, your winter clothing also has some sparks. Have you seen that? What is it? What is the effect called? I don't know what it is called. Huh? Static electricity. And if it is like early morning, you get up for Mangalarti, the whole room is completely dark, and then you see those sparks. Prabhupada says, just see, just as sparks appear, anytime there is friction in this material world, anytime there is friction between devotee and non-devotee, Krishna appears. So Krishna has to appear when that friction is there. Of course, because of Prahlad, such a great example of this anti-materialistic consciousness, and with Hiranyakashipu, if two people are so heavyweight, the Leela also has to be heavyweight. So Narasimhadev appeared. But I get this hope that wherever and whenever there is friction, you chant Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Ram, Hare Ram, Ram Ram, Hare Hare. Krishna has to appear. We come to the end of the glorification of Prahlad. Just the last three things. There is a purport about self-control. Prabhupada begins the point by saying, animosity isn't like, at least I'm talking for myself, when you read the whole saga of Hiranyakashipu torturing Prahlad, it's an animosity, it's a hatred. Why don't you die? So, of course, we can say that, hey, you are the one who has a benediction, isn't it? Just see the point. The one who has the benediction is worried. The one who didn't do any tapasya is not worried. Hiranyakashipu is like, is holding Prahlad and saying, why don't you die? He says, why you worry about that? You have a benediction. I didn't do any tapasya. So, animosity means the feeling that someone else should not be here. Someone else, I hate that person. There is competition, there is hatred. How does it go away? Prabhupada says, without self-control, there is no ridding animosity. Unless every sadhaka practices self-control, we cannot give up animosity. Violence in this world is a result of extreme competitiveness. We always feel the resources are limited and the stakeholders are many. So there is no end. Animosity cannot just go away like that. Here are three our end points for glorifying Prahlad about how he practiced that self-control. Number one, he prayed for his father's liberation. It is simply unthinkable that at his level of pain and torture, he would still be thinking of his father's welfare. But that's what he did. Number two. Alright, he didn't ask that his father be punished or whatever. At least a mind would say, now that he is dead, I want to be comfortable now. My ordeal is over. Gaur Krishna Maharaj, in his Hindi Bhagavad Katha, he says that Narasimhadev is telling Prahlad, please accept something from me. It is my nature. When I make an advent, I have to give something. So Prahlad is saying, well, if you have any problem that you have to give something, I need a benediction. I should not have any material desires. That defeats the whole purpose. Here is Krishna willing to give any material object, and the devotee is saying, just remove the desire for all material objects. That's my only desire. So Prahlad is very clear, I don't want any benediction for myself. The third, it slipped. I read the Leela many times, but because only of this purport it became highlighted. He never cursed any of his torturers. Mind you, Hiranyakashipu didn't torture personally himself all the time. He had an army of people who would throw him, put him in a den of snakes, or throw him off a cliff, or push these, stab him with sharp weapons. Prahlad never cursed any persons who tortured him because of the instigation of his father. He harbored no ill feeling for them. And I was thinking, Haridas Thakur is Brahma Haridas, is also Prahlad. Don't we see the same three things in Haridas Thakur's experience also? No ill feeling towards the people who were whipping him, praying for their welfare, and not asking for any benediction for himself. So, I will stop here now. We will have the beautiful rendition of Sri Narasimha Karavalamba Stotram by Shripad Shankaracharya. And after that, we will have... After the Arati, after that? Or Abhishek? Arati. And then we'll have Prasad for everybody. Shri Narasimhadev Bhagwan ki, Bhakta Shiromani Prahlad Maharaj ki, Srila Prabhupada ki, Nitai Gaur Premanande.
Lakshmi Narasimha Dev Bhagavan Ki Shri Prahlad Maharaj Ki Shri Lakshmi Narasimha Karavalambam Sotram Ki Jai. Chakrapane Bogindra Bog